This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
What's happening, Cardinal Nation? Welcome to this week's podcast, The Two Birds on a Bat. It's your new host here, Steve-O. So Jimbo's on vacation for what, like 3 weeks or something like that. So he calls me, says, hey, I know you've been absent for a while, but you're going to have to put off the real work stuff and come in here and do a little podcast. So we're here live in the patio's studio, right? This is the first time I've been in this one. So I got intern Will with me. And our old favorite, all-time Cardinal fan, Benji Molina on the other line. Bima, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Will and Steve-O in studio, man. I can't believe that. Next time, I'm going to drive over and do it in studio.
You need to do that. Well, we're going to be together, what, Friday down at Patio's, right? And then next Monday, yeah, you'll be in town. You have to come over and do it in studio. Me and you just hammered out live here. Now, here's my big question. Who is this Cromer guy who gets 3 weeks vacation?
I don't understand. You know one of the reasons why he probably gets 3 weeks is because he doesn't fly. So he gets him like 4 to 5 days to get to a place, enjoy 1 week, and come back for 4 to 5 days, drive back. Or train back or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, so he calls the other day and he's like, hey, man, I need you to make sure you're doing the shows. Are you okay with that? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Where are you going? And he goes, oh, I'm going on vacation for next 3 weeks. And I start scratching my head. I go, okay, where are you going? He says he's going to California. And now I've known Jim for a long time. I know he doesn't fly. I go, are you flying? He goes, no, I'm going to hop on a train. I go, who does that?
Cromer, apparently.
I mean, this guy's, he's off his rocker. That's for sure. But, and then the big news is it, did I see this right? Did I see the Facebook thing come up that it was Benji Molina's 45th birthday the other day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It was on Saturday. Yeah.
Now I've been practicing this. Let me warm up these chords here. Me. Now I had to go way back into my high school years. Well, let's see if I can get this right. Cumpleaños a ti, cumpleaños a ti, cumpleaños a Bimo, cumpleaños a ti.
Wow, that was awesome.
Was that it?
That was pretty tight right there, man. That's as good as it gets.
That's as, it's almost like...
High school? I don't believe it, man.
What'd you tell me? I was like, yeah, I took 4 years of Spanish in high school. You said, no, bro, you took like 1 hour a day. For 4 years, yeah. You don't know Spanish.
Yeah. I don't think you did that, and you know you've been working on it for a while now.
No, out of memory. Just wow, I mean, just pulled cool. It out.
That's pretty cool. I'm impressed. I really am. And it was very good too.
So I started thinking about that. You're 45 years old, right?
Yep.
So and we've talked about this back in 1990. So you're 2 years younger than me. So you would have been 16 years old when your Puerto Rico team went to the American Legion World Series, right?
Yep.
So was that team, all made up of guys your age, or were they most of them older and you were just good enough to be, you know, 16 playing on, you know, senior Legion team?
Most of them were older.
Okay.
Because I always play with the younger age and higher level, right?
Right.
So Puerto Rico is built with the old school. I don't know if you guys have it here in the United States when you were growing up. Like the Pee Wee Reef was the 11, 12 years old. And then you play 11. And when you're 11 and you play 12 in the same league, right? Like you spend 2 years in one league.
Right.
So that's how we do it. So anytime I started my first year, I was supposed to be the younger age, but I was super young because I was 1 year younger than the league. So I played like 2 years, but then I played underage my first year on the league. So I was always the youngest one, and one of the youngest. There was a lot of kids just like me too, but I was always the youngest one, one of the youngest ones.
Now that's just, I mean, like I said, it's back in 1990, and we didn't quite get a chance to match up because we didn't make it that far. But you guys were out in Washington, and then you hop on a plane, thought you were going to Florida, and you end up in Arizona at junior college, right?
Yeah, a very crazy story. Yeah, it was crazy. It, you know, I most of the people that know by now, they know the story, so I'm not going to get into it so much, but I did. I thought I was going to Florida. I don't know, for some reason, Western College sounded to me like it was in Florida, you know? So I thought it was, and then the flight was short, and I'm like, what the heck, man, are we here? And then I didn't see any trees in Florida, but it was Phoenix, and it was Yuma, where there was no trees. There was all desert, so.
Yeah, total.
It was crazy, though, man. Hey, but it would have been cool to face you, though, in that American Legion, and then we could have been talking about it. You know, that would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been really awesome, but we didn't quite make it that far. You guys did pretty good, and
we were like number one ranked Legion team in the nation, I think, because we had a really good team, really good team. We just ended up in the last game, and the pitcher that beat us the last game, we already beat him up 15 runs because they left him in there. So he gave up 15 or 14 runs against us. And then we committed like two errors in the first inning and then one error in the fourth inning that just killed us. Four or five runs, four of them were unearned. So we had to kind of dig ourselves out of a hole, and we couldn't. We lost by one, but our team was stacked, man. They were like seven first rounders, man, on that team. So
no kidding. Did any of the other ones make the big leagues?
Let me see. Edwin Diaz in left field did it. Ricky Otero in center. I did it in right. Shortstop was Cora. I made it AAA, AA. The third baseman was Dennis Colon. He made it with Houston. First base was our big gun guy, and the catcher, they both made the national Puerto Rican team. Remember back then, remember, Steve-O, that they don't play pro. They only played the amateurs.
Right.
So these kids didn't make the pros, but they made the national team. So, I mean, our team was just stacked with talent, man. We were really good. We knew how to play baseball. It's just like three errors was too much for us to overcome, you know?
Well, that seems to be typical in any baseball, no matter what level you're at. If you don't have great defense, you know, you tend to put yourself in a hole. And that's kind of what, you know, we're going to turn our look at what's going on in the major leagues, especially with our Cardinals. But, you know, I've always said, you know, coming from my coaches growing up, it's great defense, good pitching, and some timely hitting. And if you have those things, that's a recipe for winning games. And luckily our Cardinals, you know, seven of the last 10 coming out of the break, they've won, you know, pretty solid in the standings. So I was looking at some stuff this morning, and it looks like the only real race in baseball is going to be that National League Central. I mean, if you look at, you know, in the American League, Yankees are up 9 games. Twins are up 3 games. Astros are up 6.5. You come over to the National League, Braves are up 6.5, and the Dodgers are up 16. And then you get into the National League Central, and that's where you're getting a lot of you're going to be your pennant race going on. Cubs, 2.5, 2 up on the Brewers, and as we speak right now, 2.5 on the Cardinals. So do you see, like, looking out there, what's going on in the Central, do you see that there's no team wanting to make a run? You know, the Brewers are 6-4 coming out of the break. Cubs are 7-3 in their last 10. So everybody's kind of holding par. Nobody's really wanting to make a run, but we're coming up on this trade deadline. What do we expect to see over these next couple of weeks?
You know what, Steve-O, I think the only good thing that we have to look at our Cardinals right now is that we're in good position, right? I mean, we're within striking distance, how they say it, you know, and 2.5 games is nothing. One series win, 3 out of 4 from somebody, and they lose a series, and we're in business. But more important than that, it's not being lucky, because you have to play out the whole schedule, and I don't like to use the word lucky in any way, but it's just that we've been fortunate enough to be 2.5 games out when, well, lately we've been playing great, we've been playing good, timely hitting and everything, but we haven't been playing that well all year. You know, we always been up and down. We had a great April. Everybody thought it was going to be awesome all year, and then all of a sudden we couldn't win a game in May. So it's kind of weird. I think that the deadline is going to have to bring, because remember, we have a couple guys that are out. We have Yadi and we have Ozuna, who are very, very key to our lineup. So I think that'll be our trade deadline move, right? I mean, I don't think if O'Neill keeps swinging the bat the way he is, these days, or Goldsmith picks it up pretty good, you know, Edmund can help us out. I think our club will be fine, man. I think the timely hitting, like you said, I think Munoz needs to play more at third. I don't care. I would just put him in there. Edmund will be my second base, things like that. So, but if they don't make this move, I think we're going to struggle. My outfield right now will be Ozuna when he comes back, O'Neill in center, and I will put Martinez in right, and I'll ride with it. But we have Fowler. That Fowler, if he starts doing what he does best, I mean, it's a good asset. It's a good, great player. I mean, good player. Just haven't been doing it to his best. And then Bader just struggling. So I would say Martinez in right. O'Neill in center, Ozuna when he comes back in left, give us a really good opportunity to win games. And Edmund with Wong in second base, man, one of them two is going to have to take over. But I'll leave Munoz at third, leave him alone. But that's not going to happen. We all know that. I'm just saying, if I were the guy, right? If I were the guy, then I would do that.
Well, and that's I think, where the rub with how the business works, how the game works, how the loyalty works, you know, between the manager, the general manager, the owner, and then the fans and the players themselves gets, you know, it's a tough story to write, because what do you do with the Fowlers? What do you do with the Wongs? What do you do with the Carpenters? You know, and the only thing I can look back on is you got to look back on what happened to Wally Pipp. You know, Wally Pipp was awesome for the Yankees and wants to sit out a game. Next thing you know, Lou Gehrig comes in, right? So, yep. You know, you've got to get some guys in there to play. And then I think you need to ride the hot hand. But how does that communication go to these guys that have been, you know, from the time that they were probably 4 or 5 years old, the best player on every field they ever stepped onto? Now they're at the highest level of play, and they're scuffling, they're struggling a little bit. How do you keep them in the right frame of mind on, hey, listen, we're going to sit you down, we're going to play, we're going to roll with this hot hand right now, and when he needs a break, you need to go in there and play, and guess what? You do 4 for 4, Carpenter, 2 for 4, and you start playing hot, we're going to ride that hot hand. How do you communicate that, and how do athletes take it in the big league ball club?
They don't take it so well, Steve-O, because they believe they're the best players, and they got used to that, right? They get used to, I'm the best here, and I'm the best third baseman you guys have, and I got to play. Well, when a slump comes over, that's what they're thinking in their head. I'm the best guy. I don't care if I'm hitting one something. It's like when Matheny used to say, this guy is my closer. And inside of me, something was eating me up because I would say, do not name a closer. Just don't name it. If you don't have one like Hoffman or Mariano or somebody with name, Kimbrough or somebody, that you can say I have a closer. But if you have Hicks or you have Miller, who both can close games in the ninth inning at any time, depending on who comes the next three, why do you name them closer? No, and that gives them the power. And then when they struggle and you take him out of the closer role, like you name him, it's really difficult for them to digest. But if you don't name them, they struggle. Guess what? They don't have to be mad. They're not the closer. They're just doing a favor or something like that. So it's really difficult for the players to understand. Like right now, like you just mentioned Fowler. You just mentioned Carpenter. They're used to being a number one. They're not used to struggling. And then all of a sudden they're struggling and they're being put in the bench and they're being this. So you know what? It's going to be a disrupt mind. It's going to be a pissed off players by doing that. But you want to win or you want to please your contract. So you want to please your players. And I always believe in winning. I'm glad I never had to deal with that stuff. I'm glad that I always was steady enough to not be put up in the bench, you know, at any moment. Not great, but I was very steady to be needed in the lineup. So I didn't go through that, but I saw many players going through it, and the really good coaches, really good managers, they don't go by friendly conversations or something like that. They just go by what my team needs today or the next day, and let's win, man. That's what the good coaches do, you know, even if it causes them a relationship with a player or something.
Now, and who's talking to him? Is it going to be Mo? Is it going to be Schilt? Who's communicating with him? Because I would think the first line of communication to a guy like Wong or a guy like Carpenter is back to, hey, remember how you got your start? The guy in front of you was struggling. The guy in front of you got injured. Something happened to the guy in front of you to give you an opportunity. So you're struggling. You know, the shoe's on the other foot now. You're not doing so well. The young guy's getting the opportunity, or in the case of Munoz, I don't know how old he is. I know he's been with us for several years, but, you know, hey, he's going to be in there, and you have to be ready on the bench because we're going to need you late in the game, or you're going to have to come in for, you know, defensive purposes, or, you know, a pinch hit, or when this guy starts struggling because they can't stay hot for the whole year, you're going to have to come in and be ready to go.
And you're right, man. You're right. But you know what, Steve-O and Will, I don't think the age matter, because right now these are the players you have. And if Martinez, Jose Martinez, was 35 years old and he was hitting the way he is, I didn't care he was 35. He's helping my club right now, and he is in my club right now. See what I'm saying? Like they need to see it as these guys is giving me a better chance to win. That's what these guys is doing, you know. I don't care what it is. I don't know. And Bader has been – how long Bader's been struggling? You tell me. You've been watching all the games. You know how – I mean, it's been so long that Bader has been struggling. They need to do something with him, either sit him down and bring him up in the eighth, or – because the opportunity was given, right? And he didn't do it. You know, he couldn't do it right now. So – at this team, he cannot play in this team. I'm not saying he cannot play later if he gets it together and start hitting. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like the guy who communicates to them has to be the manager. It has to be the manager. It cannot be a GM. It cannot be a president of the club. No, it has to be the manager who's building the relationship with them all year. So it's the same with Fowler. When he saw Fowler struggle, Matheny was done, and then Chilty came in, and all of a sudden Chilty said, "Hey man, you're my right fielder. Go play." But then guess what, Steve? And well, he kept struggling. So why do I have to tell him this is your team, go out there and play, if he's still struggling? If we want to win games, that's not the way to win games, right? That's what I'm trying to say. So you put the guys who are best out there at that moment, and, you know, obviously if it's Carpenter that has to sit, I know what they're doing. I know they're waiting for these guys to explode, Steve-O and Will. They're waiting for these guys to, at one moment, at one week, at one moment, these guys are going to be who they are. And Carpenter is going to give us a great month. But while they wait for it, what do we do? Like, while we wait for that month to happen, or whatever they're waiting on, what the heck do we do? Keep losing games because, you know, no hitting, and we have three guys in the lineup, four guys at times that are not doing what they're, you know, what they're capable of doing. You know, they're struggling. So you expect to win the game with 4-8 or 4-7 or 3-7 in the lineup? That's crazy, man. I think it's up to the manager to decide, because at the end, who gets fired? The manager, man.
Absolutely.
The manager gets fired. Not the president, not the GM. It's the manager who will get fired. I think he needs to get the, you know, he needs to get the rope really tight and say, hey, listen, these guys make me win, and let's go.
Well, that's just, you know, the thing comes down to what kind of frame of mind, and it's easy when you're on the DL, right? You know, for a guy like Carpenter who's sitting there, he's on the sidelines, and you know, they're able to manage it that way while the other guys fill in, whether it's Edmonds or it's, you know, Munoz filling in for him. But we all know what's going to happen just because of Carpenter's track record and how he can carry a team, that they're going to come back and get him in there and say, okay, go get your, you know, your feet underneath you. Well, you're 0-4 this day. Well, it's just, you're just knocking off the rust, and 0-4 the next day, or 0-3, and you know, and not hitting in crucial situations. That's the frustrating thing from a fan's perspective, but also on a fan's perspective
for them too.
Yeah.
But, for them, I bet you.
But also on a fan's perspective, we jump on those, you know, the Harrison Bader bandwagon. You know, we like his hustle, we like his grit, and next thing you know, jerseys are flying off the stores, you know, shelves, everything. Everybody's wearing Bader jerseys, and then he goes out and, you know, and he doesn't have the year that we wanted him to.
I told you guys a long time ago, I said, what has he done? What has he done if he went out there and killed it, 350, 340, 300, even 300, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But he was just a normal player back then. I don't know if you remember when, but it was last year. And I said to them, I said, what in the world? Why is he at number one? Because he's been struggling. He had a great defensive year. I mean, he almost could have won a Gold Glove, I guess. But that was awesome. And he's a good defender. I love it. But he's aggressive, like you said. But, man, I always said it in the show. Show me that you have been able to earn that spot by doing, you know, by going out there and hitting 300 or hitting 3-something or getting a lot of RBIs or not being overmatched or things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think you're still even aggressive at the 300. Give me a 260. Give me a 265. Yeah.
That's what he hit last year.
Right. You know, I obviously the new 300 is, you know, probably 270. You know, we've dialed that way back. You know, now all of a sudden it's, you know, the line in business used to be like, you know, what other place can you go out in the world and fail 7 out of 10 times and still be a millionaire? Now it's going to be, hey, what other place can you go out and fail 8 out of 10 times? I mean, this is getting, when you're pushing that 200 batting average, I don't think you can play that guy, right?
No, and he plays. That's what I'm trying to say. And you have him in our lineup. I mean, if he does well, if he's doing well, like I always say with Fowler, like I always say with Carp, like I always say with Blum, if they play well, they let them play. That's what we want. We want them to play well so they can play. But if they don't, if they're not playing well, they're not doing it. I mean, we need to find somebody. It's like watching Bader this year, and you have Aras Arena, and you have Sosa, and you have guys down in the Triple-A that aren't hitting 300. Now, they might not come to the big league and hit 300, but I bet you the 250, 260, 270 mark, they might hit it. Because they've shown they can hit. They've shown down there they can hit. You know what I mean? So why not switch those guys out? I don't understand. Like, if you have a bench player hitting 300 and you have a guy hitting 240, or not even 240, Carpenter is hitting 219 or 215.
Yeah, 215.
Or you have one that lately he's been, you know, okay, 250s. That's all right. With a good defender, that's okay. But guys that are struggling big time, like guys that are really struggling, and you have guys at the bottom in the bench and you don't make a change, and you have guys in AAA that could give you that 250, 260 you need, like Ravelo. Ravelo is a great, great chance for him to come over off the bench or something, because he can hit. He showed down there he can hit. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
These guys have to put their mind into who can help me out. They don't want to put Bader into a Triple-A. I don't know why. How much opportunity is this kid going to have? And believe me, I love Bader, okay? I love him, and I hope he can hit 300, and I hope he could run out every ball. Every ball. But it's not doing it at this moment, and it's hard for a fan base, and it's hard for people. I'm sure it's hard for the manager to see, because you have more guys that even if you put O'Neill out there, let him play then. Let O'Neill play. Now he's hitting 300. I don't know why in the world you would sit him. I know the last game wasn't pretty, but you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, Edmonds with the spark that he's given. O'Neill, you got some of these guys out there. I think I'm with you, BMO. I think you got to keep these guys in, and you got to ride, you know, quote unquote, the hot hand. You got to let them go. It's no, you know, different than anything else in life. I don't know.
You have to do it if you want to win, Steve-O.
And
you have to do it.
And I could see if you were 7-8 games out right now that, okay, hey, here's the deal. We gotta manage this more like a franchise and think of the business aspect of it and service time and how many times they go up and they go down and contracts and when you start the clock and all that stuff. I get the business part of it if you're not in it. But if you're in it, you're 2.5 out now. We're, 8 days, 9 days away from August 1st here. So
this is when they need to take advantage of the whole thing.
Right. This is the time that you got to, you know, this is what Mo gets paid for right now. He's got to evaluate his team, and he's got to say, are we a contender, and does it make business sense? And we all know, Mosaic, about the money. Mm-hmm. How much money does he make for the DeWitts? That's his job.
He's making bunch, man. You know it.
Right. So is it, hey, is a playoff run? Is that where it is? Is that make more money? Or is it to, hey, you sell a player? I don't know what the call is, but at 2.5 games, from a fan's perspective, bro, I want to go and win.
Yes.
Okay, I wanna go the other side now, people. I want to go and ask you guys, because we've been talking about players, right?
Right.
Okay, now let's talk about Mosalek and Gersh, right? The GM. If they're going to trade Wong, Bader, Fowler, Carpenter, because I don't know why they do the extension, because for what I know, Carpenter wasn't even asking for it. Okay, so I that's what I know, but I don't know any insiders. But anyway, how are you going to trade these guys? How are you going to trade these guys, Steve-O? Remember, we've been talking about the play.
You now, can't.
If I'm Mozalek and Gersh, you know, and the GM, what am I going to say to the teams? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, what am I going to say to the Angels? Hey, I have Wong, Fowler, I have Carpenter, I have these guys that are available right now for a trade. And they're going to look at you and say, no way, man. I got players here in my organization. I got players here in the big league that are a little higher than your players. Why am I going to trade you that? You see what I'm saying?
Right. And that's
if
why I think.
If they were hitting good, it makes sense. But if they're struggling, it's really hard to move them, too.
Right. And that's why the only time you really see players moved is when they're in the walk year of their contract, or it's going to be some sort of middle reliever that gets moved. I mean, none of these guys, you know, you don't see trades like you see in some of these other sports with baseball, just because there's so much depth that these teams keep in their minor league system. If we got somebody hurt, it's not like we got to go pick up, you know, if our second baseman got hurt, we don't have to go pick up another second baseman. We got nine of them. We got nine of them in the minor leagues, and we got nine third basemen, and we got nine shortstops we could bring up.
And outfielders,
you know, just so that's the difference is, you know, you start thinking about, well, maybe if one of these teams' second baseman gets hurt, maybe they'll want Wong. No, they got guys waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's pretty simple.
The biggest the difference is these guys that they have in the minor leagues, they're unproven, right? Like if you had a chance to, like last year, you had a chance to go get Machado. Well, you cannot compare Machado to the guys that we have in the minor leagues.
Right.
See what I'm saying? That would be the difference. Like if you say, well, we have Gumber in the minor leagues that he could come in and field up the space if somebody gets hurt. Yeah, but you cannot compare Gumber to Greinke or to Bauer from Cleveland for people that are available for the trade. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the difference on the trade. You know, you trade for a really valuable team. Right now, my outfield could be set, right? My infield, it's really out of whack right now. Goldschmidt is there and DeJong. Second base, Wong is doing enough to stay. He's doing just what they want, 250, you know, keep struggling with the same swings, but he's there, 250, so that's what they like. I guess they want. But in third base, we're struggling big time. And then you have a kid that is just praying for more playing time. Maybe not every day if you don't want to do it, but man, that guy, like Edmund, and in between Edmund and Munoz, they're just freaking praying for that door to open so they can play and give you what the other guy cannot. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about what they want and how they want it. Right now, for me, Steve-O and Will, a number one starter will get me to the playoffs. Plain simple. There you go.
All right. So you want to make a move for a starter. Who you like out there? And
well,
there's
just been a few options that I read. I haven't done my research yet. It's just that I saw that Bauer was available
right
from Cleveland, which I doubt now because they're back in the hunt. So I doubt he's going to be available. There's that the other guy I mentioned just now, but there's just a few, and I have to go around and check out and see who's available. But there's not many of them either. But
right.
But you can make a trade, but you're going to have to get rid of the real deal, not just anybody that's struggling in your team, you know?
And that's where the rub comes in is what are you willing? And I think the Cardinals and Cardinal fans alike have all been under that, you know, same, you know, belief of we value our prospects more than other people may value our prospects, or we're not willing to give them up to get an asset today, and we're always playing for tomorrow. And that's an issue, because if that's the case, you got to hit on all these guys, and they got to gel at the same time in order to make that run like you did in 11 and 13 and 6 and 4 or 5, you know, those years where you had, you know, year in and year out, you're competing for a championship.
Oh, you can't, we can't sit here, us, you know, together and compare those teams to the team right now. There's no way in the world you can compare those. You know what I'm saying, Steve-O and Will? It's crazy to sit here and say we can compare 11, 13, or even 06, 04. We can't compare any of those teams to the one we have now. The one we have now, it's a very different team. I'm not saying they cannot do it. They might be able to, you know. They might pull it off. But if those pitchers start pitching the way they should, they might win some games in this division, so... But at the same time, man, I don't know. It's really hard to compare those teams from the past to this team right now, you know, after we've seen the struggle, you know?
Well, we got the outfield set. I think we're in agreement that third base is primarily our, you know, our issue on the infield here.
Unless Carpenter goes on the tear, because that's what we want, right? I mean, yeah. We're looking for him to go up.
Yeah. How's Yachty and his injury going? When's he expected to come off the DL here, or IL, I guess they call it now?
He's pretty close to coming back, I think. I mean, it's been close to 10 days already, and I think all he needed was to let it heal, man. You know, Yachty, he doesn't, any injury, he doesn't let it heal. He just wants to come back so bad and help the team that sometimes he finds himself into a, not letting it heal, and that's all he needs to happen. You need to let it heal. So he's in the process. I think he's a few days now from coming back. You know, now that they're going to go back into, on Thursday, they're going to be back at home. I think that's when we're probably going to see him play, man. I hope so. And that's another thing, people. That's our deadline trade right there. Ozuna, if he comes back pretty soon, and Yachty, you know, that could be our trade deadline guys. But we need a starter, man. We need somebody we need a driver on the bus, you know.
Well, and that's kind of what we expected from the Reyes injury, is that we expected him to come back, have some bullpen time, and about All-Star break, be ready to start into that starting rotation again. And then with him going out, you know, the best laid plans, you know, never came to fruition this year, which I thought we were sitting pretty good. We all talked about it during the off season and even at the beginning of the year. Injury bug, you know, as you can talk to any major league or major league team out there, boy, you got to stay healthy in order to win. That's for sure. And we've been bit a couple of times, especially on the pitcher side of it too.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy. You got to stay healthy, but those are things that every single team goes through, Steve-O and Will. Everything goes through them. We're lucky enough or fortunate enough to have, you know, backups out there in AAA that are ready. Like Ponce de Leon is doing a great job. He's been in AAA, and then we have Gumber, and then we have a couple more guys out there that I have been doing pretty good in AAA that if anything happens, they can fill up. But for a playoff team, for a team that goes into a playoff and try to win the whole chip, it's going to be really difficult without a number one or a number two or whatever, you know. So I think I will put my deal, you know, like my concentration deals on into a starting rotation guy, man. That will be a big help. I'm sorry for the guy who has to move out, but I mean, I think if we want to make a big run, I think that's one of the big deals we need to deal with now.
Well, I like where your head is on that position right there. Well, here's the deal. We're sitting at the 22nd We got until the 31st to make a move, and here's what we have until that time. We got four games against the Pirates starting tonight. And then we have the Astros in town for three, and then the Cubs in town for three. So you got to make hay while the sun shines right now against the Pirates. If I'm not mistaken,
you want to be a playoff team. You got to win. You got to win against the best, right?
I mean, right.
That's just how it is.
Pirates scuffling a little bit. We just took it to them. What was it, last week? You know, if you're going to make a move, you know, you need to start off by winning the games on your schedule right now, and also trying to put yourself in a position to make a move, because all of a sudden, four games against the Pirates, you could be right there. And then you got to go face a, I mean, listen to this gauntlet you got to run. Astros, Cubs, A's, and Dodgers. But the problem is, that's August 7th by the time you get out of that run. And you could be...
You could be really far behind.
You could be eight games, 10 games back by then.
Yeah, if you don't pick it up, and if you don't pick up the slack of the way they're playing right now, it's a good indication that we're going the right way, and I hope they keep doing it, because like you said, Steve-O, they're going to need it, man. They're going to need it with that run, and they're going to face great pitching. You know what? One of the things of the Cardinals, I don't know. I never doubt them when they play a good team, man. I don't know. They step up. You know what I mean? Well, they go up and they step it up. It's just the normal teams that I don't know what happens, or the guy who they haven't seen in a while, or they never seen. I don't know what happens in that era, but man, when they face good teams, they step it up pretty good.
Would I be off base by saying that's a leadership thing, that's a management thing, if the games that are in front of you that you should win, if your manager isn't keeping you on task and on focus, that it's every inning, win the pitch, win the at-bat, you know, which is what La Russa used to do, what he used to preach all the time. Am I off base by saying if you're playing to the level of your competition, that means you lack leadership? Because, hey, we know the Cubs are coming into town, they're tough. We know the Astros are coming to town, they're tough. And if you're holding your own against those teams and you're not winning the games that you should win against the teams that, you know, that aren't to your talent level, am I off base by saying that's got to be that hangs strictly on the manager for not getting these guys to stay focused on that?
You know what, Steve? It's hard for me to say the manager, you know, in that matter, because the manager could be as positive as you can, and the manager could be the nicest guy, a player coach. The manager could be the whatever you want to call it, you know, in this case. But the player has to step up and play, right? The player has to go in the batter's box and not swing at a slider in the dirt. Or the players have to go out there and do this and do that. And the pitcher has to go and throw zeros. And you see what I'm saying? So I won't put anything on the manager. The manager that we have is a very positive guy. He's a very nice guy. All the players love him. So now it's time for them to do it. You know, I've been preaching this for a long time now. I think it's time for them to do it. The other day when we faced the Marlins, we were having trouble hitting a guy, right? We were having trouble because this guy did this, because that guy, we don't know him. And all of a sudden, I'm watching the Marlins facing the Dodgers, same guy. And he got rocked, you know. And then the other guy, Alcantara, he came over, blah, blah, blah. Man, they gave him six spots. So they scored six runs on him. And I'm like, wow, that's exactly what a freaking first place team do. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who the heck is pitching. It doesn't matter if he's a young guy, if he's an old guy. It doesn't matter. You throw it around here, we're going to walk it, and we're going to get you out as soon as we can, because we're going to beat you up. But that's the first place team that did that. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Cardinals are not a first place team, and they're not playing as good as the Dodgers. So that's why you see the difference on, okay, that guy could beat me at any time. Oh, man, we don't know him. Shoot, man, my bad. He beat us. God dang it. You see what I'm saying? Because they're not that team. So Atlanta, when they face the Phillies, they take care of business. A lot of the first place teams do that. Astros. Everybody's worried, oh, man, this series with the Angels, well, they took 3 out of 4. You know what I'm saying? So the first place team needs to step it up. And it's easier said than done, I get it. But if you want to be in the playoff, if you want to be one of those playoff guys, then you have to do what you have to do, and you have to win.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part is, and I'll give you the prediction right here. The Dodgers have lost 12 home games all year. I think the Cardinals go in there and take 2 of 3 from them. I'm with you from the standpoint of we seem to play to the level of our competition, and I'm not scared of any team out there overmatching us. We're going to go in there and take 2 out of 3 in a couple weeks.
We took 4 out of 4 at home, so why can't we do it at their house?
Yeah. See, that's the deal. Is it? But if you got the Pirates coming in for 4 games, or you're going to wherever it is.
Going to Pittsburgh.
You're going to Pittsburgh for 4 games. If you crap the bed and you only split with them, that's the frustrating thing here, is we could play with any team. Mm-hmm. Give me a 7-game series. I'll take the team, 7 games. Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable with that. But if you give me 7 games against the Pirates, and they're going to throw out a new pitcher that we've never seen, some AAA, some AA guy, I'm going to bet against us. That's the frustration that I have watching this team. It's like, and BMO, this might be a little bit beyond your, where you grew up, but it's like watching Days of Our Lives. I mean, you can go 2-3 months without watching a Cardinal game, come back and go, oh, Victor Kiriakis is still alive, or John Black was this, it's the same characters, the same storyline. Nothing's changed. And we're talking about this for years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But if we want to win, and I always say it this way, if we want to win, something has to change. It might be one player. It could be two players. But our situation with our third baseman, our situation with Fowler struggling a little bit, Wong being inconsistent, he's better lately, and having a guy that plays a lot in Bader in center field struggling the way he is, that's four guys, I'm sorry. You usually have one, maybe two, without counting the pitcher, but four guys in your lineup struggling at times, it could be really, really difficult to watch, and we cannot afford. And I said this, you guys remember, we cannot afford to lose any kind of game. Any game we cannot afford to lose because of the division where we play at.
Perfect. Well, we're gonna tie it up here. We got 7 games before we meet back here in the studio next Monday. 4 against the Pirates in Pittsburgh. 3 at home against the Astros. Will, I'll start with you. Next 7 games, what's the Cardinal record?
I think they are 5-2. I think they keep winning the series and keep it rolling.
5-2. BMO, what do you got?
5-2 is pretty good. Honest, 5-2 is pretty honest. I think they could do that. I wish they could win every game for sure, but 5-2, I think it's pretty honest.
I'll agree with you guys. I like 5-2, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we went 3-4. I would not be a bit surprised if we went 2-2 against Pittsburgh, and then only 1-1 against the Astros. But I think we need 5-2 before we meet back here next Monday, and that's what I want to go with.
If nothing like that happens, we'll have to play our luncheon, Adam.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So here's what we got. We got Friday night. We have patios, right? Will, what do we got there?
Yeah, it's going to be you and Benji. Mike's going to have me in the store. And then we've got a giveaway there. So it would be important to go there if you want to see a Yanni signed picture.
Sweet. So we got patios pregame on Friday before the Cardinal game. BMO, remind me to get with you about tickets. Happy birthday to Benji on that this week, too. We're in the patio studio here, and I'm not going to do any justice like Jimbo does with all his reads for everything, but I'll just tell you right now, if your house is hot, you got to give Randy Green a call. Innovative Heating and Cooling, he'll take care of you. Hook me up. I won't say I'm freezing cold in there because I like it somewhat warm, but it keeps me under the covers at night, that's for sure. So give Randy a call if your house is hot right now. He's an honest guy. He'll treat you right. He's a big fan of the Cardinals and the show here, so we appreciate all his help. And last plug I'll make, I've been gone at work for a long time, guys, slinging mortgage loans. So if you need something, rates are down. Call me, USA Mortgage, Steve Flowers, 618-567-7114. Other than that, for Will, intern Will, Benji Molina, this is Steve Flowers. We're signing out. Go Birds!
Go Birds! Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.